Ladies and gentlemen.
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 Can I please have your attention?
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready, set, go.
Ladies and gentlemen, get your popcorn ready, sit back, relax, because it's about time for Chatting with George Noonan. Oh, yeah. You see that?
I see it. Four.
All right. So three. It's basically, yeah, it's I'm ridiculous, it. But that's what we're doing. So, hey, everybody, this is, well, I should have rehearsed this once, but Pat, he's super Pat world. He noticed the green screen. He tried to be all cool and show up with some Las Vegas background, but it didn't really work. So, we're sharing the screen. We share a birthday. I had it all to myself for a couple of years, and then you ruined that. Thank you.
Sorry.
The gifts cut right in half. But diminished. Okay. They did diminish, as they did. And you are also on YouTube. And unlike me, you are using it for good. So what is Super Pat World? Because I'm going to call this Super Pat World, and I hope you're not a, you know, you're okay with that. But so what is it exactly?
Okay.
You just play Donkey Kong for a living, right?
You're close. You're not too far off.
I'm not way off.
Super Pat World is a gaming channel on Facebook Gaming, and it's a live stream channel where every day I live stream myself playing a Mario game called Mario Maker 2, and people could tune in, and either they can help me figure out the levels, interact with me, interact with each other in the chat, and it's sort of like a throwback to when I was growing up. Getting together with my friends and playing video games was sort of the default activity. So it feels a lot like that.
So basically people help you cheat.
Exactly. It's sort of like...
I like it.
Yeah. Very helpful, especially on the tough ones.
Yeah. Now, is it just that one particular game?
Well, when I started, that was the game that I was sort of best at to be able to be worth watching, because there's that element of that you don't want to watch somebody playing a video game that you're better at them. You're better than them at the game. So it's sort of like that little parallel to professional sports. Part of the appeal of watching the NFL or the Major League Baseball, any of that, is you're watching people at the top tier skill level compete. And so it's that same sort of parallel with video games where it's most interesting to watch somebody that's really good at the game, or at least better than you. To a certain extent, but I mean, there's lots of my viewers who are actually better than me at the game, but we sort of have that camaraderie of both being really good at the game. But above me, there's plenty of tiers above me of people playing the same game as me who are heads and shoulders above me, much better. So there's sort of like a threshold. Like, you've got to be at least a 6 out of 10 at the game to be worth watching for the majority. But I think it's also important to have a sense of where you land. It's part of that gaming culture thing to just assume you're the best, you're the 10 out of 10, and oftentimes I think that can get you into trouble. That ego can be a dangerous thing.
Yes, I found that out the hard way a couple times.
Yeah, I think we all have.
You know me well enough to know that. Better than you are,
yes.
That will help you. Will they make you die on purpose? Like, did they tell you, have they ever fooled you and sent you where you shouldn't be?
Well,
I would do that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, there's definitely a certain element of trolling that can happen, but it's typically good-natured and meant in good fun. Like, I think you're always better off assuming positive intent from the viewers rather than thinking like, oh, man, they're just trying to make me look bad. Because that sort of feeds into that whole ego thing, like, oh, man, or like, I don't want to look bad. And I think that ends up sending you on a less and less entertaining path, the more self-aware you are of like, oh no, I got to make sure I look cool or look good. So yeah.
Pat, you always look cool and you always look good. So you're good there.
Well,
you're covered.
That's kind of to say.
Although the sweatshirt, I'm not too sure about.
I know that. Hey, Super Pat World. I can't even believe I have a sweatshirt.
I didn't even read it. I didn't even know what it was. I just said it for that, for the heck of it.
I'm with you.
So you have your own. Do you sell those?
I do. I which is crazy to me. I know. It's the craziest thing. I never part of when I put in, it's one of those websites where you kind of just upload the design and they take care of the rest, like the drop shipping, they call it. They take care of all like the manufacturing and the actual shipping, and then
sure.
And so when I did that, I said, okay, well, I got to order a bunch and make sure that these things actually hold up. I wouldn't feel comfortable selling merch and then have it be one of those things where three washes later, the thing's all messed up or it's tearing. So I decided to commit to wearing them all the time to sort That's of awesome. Test them out. And so far, so good. They've held up really well. And I can feel good about selling them without feeling like I'm ripping somebody off.
Really? See, I'm the last person to be making fun of you because I'm wearing a...
Batman?
I'm wearing the Zack Snyder's Batman.
All right. So that was a big drop early this month.
Did you see it?
I did. 4 hours is a little... one and a half hours is sort of the sweet spot for me when it comes to movies. And once you get over the two-hour mark, it's got to be real good. But once you're over the three-hour mark, it has to be the greatest movie of all time for me to even consider it. So if you're over the four-hour mark, it's almost impossible. See, I'm more of a Marvel guy anyway. I have much more familiarity with the Marvel world, so I'm already at a disadvantage towards wanting to invest that much time. But it looks interesting. I've seen some of the little trailers here and there. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, little tip on that for you. They break it up into six parts.
Six parts.
So you can literally watch it one part one, then you can stop when you see part two. I'm not suggesting
that
you do
was
it,
wise.
If you were, yes,
that was a
very
good
smart
move
on that part.
There you go, HBO.
Yes. Now, those sweatshirts, how long have you had that sweatshirt?
I think 4 months now, something like four.
Oh, so you've had it for a while. You've worn it, and it was winter pretty much.
Throughout the winter.
Wearing it, so
I wear them every day on stream. It's sort of like my cartoon character outfit. I put the hat on, get the sweatshirt on, and then I'm Super Pat.
So that background started as white, but you've been wearing that every day for 4 months.
And now it's green. Now it's perfect.
It's yes. Well, okay, that works.
Well.
I like
and
that.
See, the need for the green screen with the gaming is that it just I put no background and the background is the video game. So I'm just it's just me superimposed over the video game in the bottom left corner.
I've watched.
Okay,
it is pretty interesting. It takes a minute to get used to.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I feel like I'm playing Wild. Where's Pat? Where's Pat? Oh, found there he is. The bottom
there
left. There he is.
There's
okay,
a little
good.
Game in there.
And I like reading people. And people do. It's funny because you're literally just playing a video game, but people will talk to you. I've seen you have many interactions. I've seen relatives talk.
Joyce, big shout out to Joyce.
Not exactly. I didn't want. Well, I was gonna name.
Okay. Well, hey, I because
no, it's okay.
It's one of those things where
of course you can.
Normally, since she lives farther away, she's someone that I always want to be able to hang out with, but the opportunity to actually see her would come around like once a year. So I have like it's actually meant a lot to me to be able to see her regularly in there and have this idea that I'm getting to hang out with Joyce, even though like typically I wouldn't have any means to be seeing her that way. So that
now, can you go? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that's like a hidden benefit of starting Super Pat World that I never in a million years would have imagined that she would even be willing to watch me play video games. But I think part of it is she probably has a similar desire where she would have liked to hang out with me more. But because we live far away, it wasn't really much of an option. So we kind of get to bond in this subtle way through Super Pat World. It's a crazy thing.
This isn't going to come over well for the people in the audio, but I'm going to show you something.
Yeah, show me.
It's a phone.
Okay, I see the
phone.
You
can actually just call. You can actually just call.
Well, that's true. Now,
you don't have to develop this whole web series where your main goal. This is great. I get this game. I do this. Why? I got to talk to Joyce. She won't talk to me. I call. She won't answer the phone. This is the only way I can do
it. See, well, you got the old school show where I'd say the number of hours I've spent on the telephone in the past 10 years is probably under 2 hours. No joke.
Exactly. Yes.
So the idea of talking on the phone has never been that appealing to me. But I understand it certainly makes a lot of sense to just call someone, but I've always struggled with that. I've always struggled with talking on the phone.
I love the way you think outside the box. You get this whole thing going. You're right, though. The phone's the only feature I don't use on my phone.
Yeah, is the call. The phone call.
It's true. It's totally true. Don't call me. Text me.
Right. You want to be doing 18 things at once. That's at least how it is for me.
I can't multitask with talking to you. What about now when you see her on there, are you able to interact and play at the same time? Or do you go back and read it? Do you see one out of every 10 blurbs?
Yeah.
And they got to be quick, right? You're not going to read a paragraph. They have to be like, hey, Pat. hey, there he is. You know what I mean? One of those things. Is that, can you do that, or does that cost you in the end? No,
well, see, this is part of the interesting thing about me getting into the game here is that I've always had a good amount of ADHD going on. For I got diagnosed at 7 and then again at 14. And the idea of
21.
What'd you say?
And then 21? Are we going by sevens?
I guess it was every 7 years. I don't actually know how the heck it works. But so the idea of playing a game while trying to keep track of what's being said in the chat, that actually makes the game more fun for me, even though it does come at the expense of, I make some simple mistakes sometimes because I'm kind of aware of both. But I feel like I'm extra good at keeping up with the chat while still trying to focus on the game. And so, like, there's this little mini game where you can roll the dice in the chat. You just type in !ROLL space D20, and it rolls a digital 20-sided die. And so when you, it gives you the result under your comment. And so Joyce will do that, trying to roll the 20 out of 20. That gives you the critical hit. That's the...
Really?
Yeah, that's the goal. And
Sounds like Dungeons and Dragons.
Exactly. That's the one the die is from. Right. That's exactly
that's
it.
Now, does she win a sweatshirt? She gets 20,
no, you win a song. You get a special shout out. I say,
oh, you win a song.
Congratulations, Joyce. You just rolled up. And then I hit a button and it says critical hit. Then I say, well done, my friend. You've defied the odds with a critical hit. So that's sort of the.
Do you have that on your phone right now? Can you play that?
Oh, I don't. I don't. It's loaded in the computer.
The computer.
The computer.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I love when the boss.
Hey,
asks me,
God, the computer. Hop out over here. What are you doing?
Hey, oh, here he is. Now, it's funny because you're singing. You have probably one of the best singers. Your sister, Katie.
She's the better singer.
Well, yeah.
No doubt.
I was going to say it, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I've known that my whole life.
She's phenomenal. Would she still sing? I haven't seen Katie in so long. Is she still singing?
She's a singer. She'll live a singer, die a singer. She'll always be a singer. The thing that ebbs and flows is how much the public performances go. And I think she'll always be singing, but I think she's learned to do it on her own terms. You know, I don't think it's ever good to be a performer of any kind when you just feel obligated or pressured to do it. So I think as she's become an adult, she's found more of the balance of like, okay, well, if I want to sing, I'll sing in this context. And if I don't, then I won't. I think that's sort of the that prime balance. But yeah, she still has a great voice. That was an interesting thing growing up with my dad, a better singer than me, and my sister, a better singer than me. That definitely helps keep you humble when no matter what, you already know going in, you're ranked third.
You're coming in third, yeah. You're third at best.
That's best, great. Exactly. Just as a starting point.
I'm not making fun because I'm way below you guys. So it's not even, I have a funny Katie story. I was staying with Uncle John for a little while, as you probably know. And I had a chance to go hear Katie sing.
Okay.
So I went and I heard her sing, and I told someone, I was like, hey, listen, you got to hear my cousin sing. She's phenomenal.
Yes.
She goes, all right. So we go, and we're in, it was in church.
Okay.
And the people start singing before, and they're horrible.
Not so great.
So, okay, not so great. They're not so great. And she looks at me, and I'm like, well, she's not an opener. She's a closer. She's not going to, you don't put the opening act last.
Exactly.
You put the headliner last.
Of course.
You settle down, relax. And then Katie sang. I was like, oh, okay.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes.
I get it now.
Yeah.
I couldn't just show up at, quarter at 12. I had to sift the whole thing.
Of course.
But it was funny because I sang how they were horrible, but it just wasn't what was expected.
It wasn't performance worthy. How about that? We can put it in those terms.
Let's do that then. Let's do that. I'll edit that up. I don't edit anything. It's sticking. But no, they're just regular people. They weren't singers, which Katie is.
Yes.
So it was just funny because I got a look. I'm like, seriously, relax. It's 11:10.
I can appreciate that.
Give her a chance.
Got to warm up a little bit.
Was it? Not performance worthy. See, sometimes I'm not performance worthy, so I can relate to that.
Me too. Well, especially I've learned that doing the stream every single day, that sometimes I'll be in a bad mood or something bad will have happened an hour before. And it's like, I still got to go on and kind of bring the positive energy. But sometimes that comes a lot more readily than other times. Like part of why I wanted to do this on a Saturday afternoon is because that's the time I can sort of count on. Okay, I'm going to wake up, do my little morning routine. I'll be ready in the zone. I'll be looking forward to this. Versus if the later in the day you do it, the more potential for that wild card thing to happen, throw you off, and now you got to fight through the
shooter drop.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's definitely a real concern.
Now, how hard it? Now, you are a very positive person. You do. I don't want to use the term preacher, but you live by that.
Yeah,
how difficult is it to do that with our last name? Like, you're going to have to get married to a woman and take her name. You have to take her name for people to actually believe you. So how does that work? You know, you show up places and they're like, you're not related. You're just not here. You're not with us. But
well, that's the...
It's a challenge, right?
Yeah, well, for any of the viewers out there that aren't familiar with our family creed, it tends to be on the negative side, a little bit on the pessimistic side. And so, but I think...
Half empty. This is full. This is going to be empty in 3 seconds. That's how it works.
There's a little shine of light on that perspective. But I think that actually has helped shaped me towards the positive in that... I feel like I have a strong sense of what it's like to have the negative perspective, and that I sort of harbored it for a long time. And then it was right between the 18 to 20 range, which I think it was right around when my mom got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, like the ultimate bad news. And then having to deal with it with that sort of negative mindset, and then sort of working through that, and then recognizing, wow, in any given situation, you really do have the mental capacity, or potentially have the mental capacity, to choose how you see it. And that there's this certain choice involved, and whether the corny way to put it, of looking on the bright side or the half empty, half full thing, there's a lot of truth in there that is kind of subtle, that you almost have to look at it one way or the other, no matter what, whether it's something good or something. Sometimes something good happens to someone, and then they say, oh, man, now that something good happened, now I'm just going to wait till it's either going to get taken away, or now something bad's going to happen to even it out. So within a positive thing happening in your life, it can be tempting to even see that in a negative light. So, of course, when the negative stuff happens, it's even more like, oh, man, oh, that bad day syndrome. Something happens at 10 a.m., and then by the time something else bad happens at noontime, it might be something you would normally brush off. But now it's like, oh, everything's going wrong for me today. It's that whole thing.
I knew it.
The world's against me. But to be fair, it definitely can feel like that. So I don't want to belittle that reality, especially now, all the tough stuff that's been going on, it can really feel like everything's working against you. And I think it's very valid. I'm just trying to point out that there's some amount of conscious effort that can be put into deciding how you look at it, even though it doesn't necessarily always come naturally, especially with our sort of family way of doing things. It's not always the go-to.
Well, our family crest is also the Grouch, isn't it?
So.
That's why the green screen behind you, that's you've taken
exactly.
off.
Exactly. That's a little nod to the family.
There. Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't know if we can talk about your father's adventure.
Yes! I'm down with my dad's weight loss journey. Biggest loser off the air
in a good way. you made a choice to call him a loser. I wouldn't have, but you
I always
did.
Thought that. I always wondered how intentional that was with the name of that show, The Biggest Loser. That it's like, was that like a little behind the scenes? What is that like? I don't know. I didn't think that was the best
you
name.
Think they'd be the biggest winner,
right? But I mean, I get it. They lost the weight, but it definitely seems like that double. Like, come on, give the people a break here. They're doing the best.
You're the biggest loser. You're the best loser I've ever seen. So where did he start? His name's Barry. Where did he? He's the youngest.
He's
correct?
The youngest of nine.
Of nine.
How crazy is that? Whew.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I don't know.
Can't relate to that.
No.
Pass. Nah, that's a huge family. And so, yeah, I guess being the youngest of nine, that can certainly be those habits that develop from needing to fight to get everything you can get. You got eight other people to compete with to get your seconds in or get whatever. And so, for whatever reason, by the time I was born, he was already overweight, and then got larger and larger, and then it wasn't that he was just like, oh, whatever, I'm just gonna give myself over and be this fat guy. It wasn't that. He would consistently try to do different programs. He would often fight against it and go in successful little spurts, but it was the consistency. It's that 1 year later, was he still with it? And I think that's the way for most people, that we can get that short-term desire where it's like, all right, I definitely want to lose the weight. I want to get healthy. But then it's met with the struggle against your long-term desire versus the short-term, because then you're 2 months in, and then it's like, man, that pizza sounds pretty right about now. And now your short-term desire has to fight against the long-term desire of, I actually want to lose weight, and it's much easier to let that short-term desire win out. And so then after my mom died, he gained even more, fair enough, grieving, depression, all that kind of stuff. And so, but then there was a certain point a couple years after that, having a couple little health wake-up calls, and he was like, it kind of came together for him of, well, I'm either gonna let this thing take me out, or I'm gonna take it out once and for all. And so that's when he started working towards being able to qualify for the gastric bypass surgery. And one piece came together. He had to lose like a bunch of weight in order to qualify, and he was able to do that. And then he knew once he had the surgery, he really didn't want to lose it and then gain it back. So it kind of added this. But it's interesting because with that surgery, it has a pretty high failure rate where there's a lot of people that get it and then gain it back. And that's part of why some of the insurance places put that thing in place where you have to lose a certain amount before you get it, because you really don't want to like manipulate your insides in order to lose the weight and then gain it back, because it's a bad situation. So it all came together for him. Now he's like, he went from over 400 pounds and now he's right around the 200 range.
So half, he lost half.
So he's half the man he used to be. That's what he likes to say. Big shout out to Barry.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, I'm very proud of him. He's done an amazing job. And like I said, I watched him struggle with it throughout my whole life and always wanted him to be able to beat it, but also understood there was some pretty serious forces at work when it comes to breaking that sort of habit, any sort of addiction. It's not like that. There's all this. I still think we have a lot to learn about what addiction is and how it works and what it means to be addicted to something. And especially if you're outside of addiction, it can be easy to look at and just say, oh, well, this is just somebody who lacks self-control. But that ends up being a massive oversimplification of the whole story. And unfortunately, I think that's what caused the divide. You have some people that say, oh, if you think addiction is a disease, it's just disease. It's just an excuse. When in reality, like I'm saying, it ends up being a complicated reality. Most things are a complicated reality. And just as humans, I think we like to oversimplify, try to put it in a box that we can better understand it. When in reality, once you're walking in that path, then you say, oh, well, this is not quite what I thought it was.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Because I've been mountain climbing. I climbed a mountain. He would go mountain climbing with us. Our family would wake up at like 4 a.m, go to Mount Shakur or Monadnock, Lafayette, a bunch of mountains. They're always in New Hampshire. We got to get something.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
And he went, I don't know if he went on everyone that I didn't go on all of them, but I went on enough. And I remember this picture's floating around. I think, well, Joyce probably has them.
Okay.
And somebody has them. And Barry's in them. He did it back then. I don't know how old he was at the time because I was a kid. But, He seemed to be athletic, at least, and not that, you know, walking is athletic, but you know, you had climbing a mountain and then climbing down is harder than climbing up.
Wow.
It really, because you fall, you can fall on your face. Like when you're climbing up, you're like, oh, this is, yeah, you're just walking, but climbing down, you're like, you gotta watch your step. You just, it's way harder to walk down the mountain than it is.
I could see that.
They should have a down escalator. You get to climb up, right, but you get to go down the escalator.
That's, I think you that might be onto something there.
Thing. And I will work on that. You and I will go. We'll make sweatshirts. Okay. We'll be fine. But is he doing anything? I believe I saw him doing a race of some sort, or is that, am I lying about that?
Yeah, that was part of his whole journey, that there was a race for a guy named Chris Boscher that it was like a fundraiser kind of benefit thing to help with some of his medical bills. And it definitely moved my dad, this idea that here's this guy that would love the opportunity to be able to do something like run a race, but is now physically unable. And so this idea that he had the potential to be physically able, he just needed to be willing to work at it. That definitely helped motivate him. You know, that little perspective shift, going back to the idea of bright side or dark or negative side, however you want to put it. Once you start to see like your own potential versus looking at it as what you can't do today. Like that's the same exact stimulus, the same thing you're looking at. What can you do today? Either you look at it as what you can't, what you're unable to do, or you look at, well, if I did this 8 times over the next month for 10 months, I would actually be able to do this 10 months from now. It's the potential versus what you can't do. And so that definitely helped shift his perspective, be more willing to move around. But the thing is, even as he was a big guy, like he was always willing to go play catch with me outside. And like you said, throughout his whole life, he always has had a really good work ethic, always willing to, well, like when it comes to doing a project, he's all in. He'll do a 24-hour session, killing himself to get it done, even if it means physical manual labor, no matter how out of shape he was. So I definitely always maintained that like respect for him too, that in spite of the obstacles that his weight presented him with, his will always overcame those for better or worse, because, you know, he could sometimes throw his back out, or there's a lot more risks moving around if you're heavier.
Sure, sure. And he's very, he's also musically, he plays the guitar.
Yes.
So do you. Did you guys ever collaborate? Get Katie on the vocals, you and Barry doing the guitar?
Yeah, well.
Tell me how many times?
But it's, my dad led, sort of led the way with the music ability, coming from the family, like of the, not of his eight siblings, eight and a half of them are musically talented or musically inclined. so that he's always been into playing guitar, singing. And, but so then when my sister came out with this crazy voice, her and him would collaborate more. And I, especially growing up in that teenage years, I sort of had to work through my own ego issues of like, okay, am I okay with being second place, third place? I was in bands where I was regularly the second best. Like I'd be the guitar player in the band, but I was second best in the guitar. And then I'd sing with another person. I was always the second. So like, I feel like I had it drilled into me early on in those teenage years when you're sort of working on your ego the most, of this acceptance of like, it's okay to not be the best. And even that, and I think what could be hard is sometimes that feels like, oh, well then what's the point of even trying? So it's like that balance of, you want to just be the best you could be. And there's like, there's a lot of freedom in just accepting, way, well, I could be the, like, if you're thinking, okay, well, it's not worth it unless I have the Joe Rogan Experience numbers, that's probably going to be a little, that's not going to be very motivating to a certain extent, because that's such a, but as opposed to if you look at it and you're saying, okay, I want to take this podcast as far as I can take it, and that's my goal, that's way more motivating. Like that, it's just focused on the potential that actually exists. Whereas when you start comparing to somebody else, there's much less to gain because you might not be capable in the same ways of the same thing. So you might be right off the bat starting from a losing perspective. Whereas if you focus on what is available to you and what you can do, that there's so much more. So to answer the question, my dad and sister would
I don't even remember the question, Pat. I don't even remember the question. I don't even know what I asked.
It was the collaboration with the musical collaboration within the family. And so my dad and sister would collaborate quite a bit, but I sort of would go my own way and sort of work with my friends with music. And then eventually, once I was a little older, that's when I started to do more things like with my dad, especially once I got into recording, because then I felt like, okay, now I have this little skill set that none of them have, and that I can sort of, we can work together and have the two parts be better than the, what's that saying? The sum of two parts. I forget what the saying is. The point is
equal to the whole.
That you could do more together than you can separately. That's the point of the saying. I forget how it goes, but with my recording skills and their singing, the idea of being able to record them and work with them and edit the audio and all that, that became much more compelling to me, teaming up rather than have it be like, okay, let's have a singing battle. Let's see who's the better singer. Not that that's ever what it was, but that's sort of that temptation to have it be like, okay, well, if I'm, who's singing better, or, you know, it ends up being frivolous. It's not the most constructive perspective.
Sure. You're Lindsey Buckingham to her Stevie Nicks. That's
fine. Oh boy. Bring it in the controversy.
That's a compliment. Oh, that's right. There is I mean,
unless you go the other way.
I was thinking positive, Pat. You were negative on that one. Ah, the table.
It happened. That's it. I'm still weak. I'm only human. My weakness is real.
And it's only 12:35. Yeah, I know. See, at 2 o'clock, there it is. You're going to be like, oh, there it is.
The day's ruined.
It's ruined. You're a ruiner. Yeah,
I've ruined plenty of days. I'm not immune.
You're not immune. I was going to say that. Yeah. That's funny. But I do want to talk about one thing that you are very positive on, and no one can ever take that away from you. Last year, I can say last year now because it was, you were doing videos for
my Special Education with Pat channel.
Thank you. And say that again, because I think I was talking over you. Go ahead. What is it called?
That I started the Special Education with Pat YouTube channel.
And what does that consist
of? So when we got hit COVID-19 March. Okay, it was like on a Friday, no school today, we gotta assess what's going on. And then it was like the next week finding out, okay, that the rest of April, instead of just April break, the whole month is going to be off. And then it was like the following month, my timeline, it's obviously a little blurry at this point, but the point being that it became progressively more extended just how much time off we were going to have. And that's when
it was supposed to last 2 weeks.
Right. It was that very, it started short term. It was that, and then extended. So as far as from the school standpoint, then it starts being, okay, well, we don't want to have the school year not count. And then, cause then you have all types of issues. If you hold back a whole generation, an entire year or whatever. So you want to be able to finish the year and have everybody get credit. And so you need to incorporate remote learning. And so remote learning is already a challenge in your typical classroom. But then in the special education world, it can be that much more difficult to pull off meaningful remote learning because of the challenges involved in that. And so my response, I'm a video editor at heart in that I've had a passion for recording audio, and then that led me to a passion for recording and editing video. So that's sort of like my home base. The things I'm most comfortable with is recording and editing audio, like music, and recording and editing video. So when it came to how can I present like a lesson to my audience through video editing, in this idea that some of our students are nonverbal, and so they'll use a device like an iPad as their voice. And so the way that works is there's basically like a grid of choices, like a menu. And so you might say, you might go to feelings, and then that button leads you to a list of angry, happy, sad. And then you actually hit the feeling, and then it says like happy. And then that might be your way to communicate how you're feeling at that given moment. So those little pictures are somewhat universal in the autism community and the nonverbal community at large. And so I wanted to find a way, how can I make those pictures come alive in a way that I could take advantage of editing the video, as opposed to if I'm face-to-face with the student, I'm sort of stuck with the static image to work with. But if I'm editing video, now I can animate it. Now I have way more options of how I could make that picture come alive. And so that was sort of the basis of like, well, let me experiment and see what I can do making this little mini show based on like a Blue's Clues sort of format where I'm trying to interact with the audience and also present these pictures in such a way that they're even more interesting, more compelling. And so that was the basis. So I said, okay, let's put it out there. Special Education with Pat created a YouTube channel to have a means to like put it out to the rest of the world as well as my school. And it did really well. I gotten a great response to it. And that was sort of partly used within the curriculum of that remote learning during that like initial phase. Now, the unfortunate thing was I can be a bit of a perfectionist, and I can be I'm quick to put a lot of pressure on myself in a destructive way. And so this is exactly what happened with Special Education with Pat, that I built the momentum. I got four videos in, and by the time I had finished my fourth video, I was sleeping a couple hours a night, sometimes staying up through the night trying to work on, you got to write the script. I was basically doing it all myself, of writing the script, then filming multiple angles, figuring out how to do the audio, sync the audio, create this sort of format that I had in my mind but didn't really exist. I had to kind of pave the way. And so by the time I finished the fourth video, I was so burnt out and so like, I was just, like, burnt out is, I guess, the best word. Where I put too much pressure on myself to keep it going, and by the time I had finished that fourth video, I had, like, nothing left. I started being really difficult to come up with ideas, and then I felt really discouraged and really guilty because there was all these people that really were enjoying them and asking for more, and I felt like I was letting them down. And then it's that cyclical thing where it's like you want to help, and then when you're letting people down, you feel even worse about it, and then it's even more difficult. Like, the antidote or the kryptonite of creativity is, like, guilt and shame. That's, like, they don't typically go together. Well, though, like, you know, a bad breakup can lead to some great creativity, but I think when you're in that guilt and shame, like, oh, I'm letting people down, that I think, like, the artist who has the one-hit wonder and then their second album flops, I think writing that third album can be really tough because you're in that mindset of like, oh, I've already lost, I've let the people down. So anyways, I'm giving you a really long answer to what the Special Education with Pat was. So, but
that's why I chose you, because I didn't really want to talk. I wanted you to do all the talking. So I said,
you
Pat,
picked the right guy.
What are you doing today? And here we go. It's been 40 minutes later. No, just kidding. Good. I've actually seen a couple of your videos. They were really good. You teach the kids how to wash their hands, how to do all kinds of stuff. I that one sticks out. I'm sorry. I know.
Yeah, that was the COVID-19. Yeah, yeah. No, that was the COVID-19 video in like that. The washing your hands part was inspired by seeing there were these YouTube videos coming out like for the average person, literally teaching you how to wash your hands because it's so easy to just fall into the routine of, okay, water, splash a little bit, little soap, bing, bang, boom, I'm out of here. that right. Like you wash your hands so often during the day, you don't think twice about it. So the idea that they were putting out these videos for the average person made me realize, wow, so if the average person is struggling to put effort into washing your hands, that means there's probably that much more reason to create some kind of structured method to go about washing your hands for my students so that it could just be sort of a follow along. And I tried to put it to some music to make it kind of more fun. And yeah, that was it's one of those weird things where you got to be in the mindset of experimenting, because if you try to, it really gets at odds with my perfectionist tendencies, because I've been doing something that I'm not necessarily following a mold, or like I don't have like the benchmarks to be like, okay, this is really good. I'm looking at something that I didn't quite, that it was in my mind. That weird thing of when you're a creative person, you have something in your mind, whenever you get it out, it's almost never 100% how you imagined it. It's always like 70% and then 30% of the practical reality of things not being exactly how you might have thought they were going to look. So that was definitely tough for me. But yeah, it was little things like washing hands and like wiping a table, different tasks that it can help to have a structured approach and to add some kind of fun in there. And even just emotional regulation, like dealing with frustration. I think just as humans, it's difficult for any of us, no matter what your no matter who you are, it can be really difficult to deal with something like frustration. And I, for everybody, one of the first steps of dealing with frustrations effectively is being able to recognize, oh, I'm frustrated right now. And that seems like a really simple step. But there was a point when I was in my early 20s that I read this book about emotional intelligence. And in the intro, it mentioned that at any given moment, you're experiencing some emotion. And that blew my mind, because my perception of emotion up to that point was maybe once or twice a day, I'd feel an emotion strong enough to consider it an emotion, like, oh, I feel a little happy right here, or, oh, I feel sad about this. But the idea that I was constantly experiencing emotion was totally foreign to me. And then that was basically the whole idea of emotional intelligence, that step one of the skill set is, in any given moment, can you recognize what emotions are you experiencing right now? So when it comes to dealing with difficult emotions like frustration, being able to know you're frustrated gives you a whole lot of power over your own mental state to be able to address, like, oh, well, I'm more likely to be in a bad mood or edgy, and I'm probably not as upset with the way this person is chewing right now. It's because it's not that they're chewing in a bad way. It's more that I'm coming into the situation frustrated, and that's lowering my threshold to be able to deal with things that might be mildly annoying. But in the state of frustration, they feel very annoying. And if you're not aware that you're frustrated, you end up thinking they're actually much more annoying than they actually are.
How does one chew to get you frustrated? You got to show me. You got to give an example. That was, I just thinking of all the examples you see that someone's chewing and I'm getting aggravated. So to show, is it the open mouth?
The irony, I'm giving that example because that's sort of like a relatively common pet peeve thing. But I don't really relate to it in that growing up, I don't know if it would, my bedroom was right near the street, and we lived on kind of a busier street, and so there was constantly noise and stuff. So when it comes to tuning out noise, I'm like really, really good at it. So if there's any sort of noise that I'm not pleased with, I have a relatively easy time just tuning it out. So that, it doesn't actually represent a good example for me. It's more like a relevant example of what might frustrate me if I'm already frustrated is like being in traffic. Usually I'm pretty good about not minding being in traffic, just being like, okay, well, now I'll just go into the zone out mode. Don't get all antsy about it. I gotta be there at this time. But if I'm already frustrated, like I already spilled that coffee on me in the morning, and now I'm hit that traffic, now I've really got to be aware, like, hold on, Pat, you gotta find some music that's gonna cool you out. Because once you, especially you hear about road rage, that it's a real thing. If you give into that frustration on the road, that leads to some terrible outcomes from people that would never do that. People doing things they would never do otherwise, that something about that road rage brings it right out of you.
Now, to be clear, you have no problem sitting in traffic. You live in Massachusetts,
that's
right?
Correct. I mean,
you're not in New Hampshire, where you that's amazing to me. Like you used to live in, I don't even know where you live. Used to live in Haverhill or not?
I'm right near there. Yeah,
it's been a while though since you've been in Haverhill, correct?
Yeah. Well, a couple of years. Okay. A couple of years.
But you're up. But you're up. But you're up. I've been towards the New Hampshire border. Those.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. That might be a little bit because you're not driving through Boston anytime.
No. That
I love traffic.
No, it's certainly.
Traffic's great. No,
traffic is brutal. That's what I'm saying. Then, especially the ultimate worst is unexpected traffic. Because it's one thing if you're driving home 5 o'clock, you're expecting the rush hour. Then you go into it with the mindset of like, okay, 10 minutes into the drive, I'm going to hit that brick wall. But it's when it's 7 p.m. or maybe like 2 p.m. and you're expecting that smooth ride, and then there's the accident, the unexpected traffic. That's the one that'll get you. And that comes down to that setting your expectations properly. There's a strong correlation between what your expectation is and what frustrates you. If you're expecting a smooth ride, you hit the traffic, that's maximum frustration. Whereas like that antidote, if you're expecting the traffic and then you hit the traffic, much less frustrating. Your expectation has been met.
Want to hear a great story about that?
Yeah.
My friend, actually, the guy who sponsors this YouTube show, Larry Burns.
Big shout out, Larry!
Go what? Larry, we would watch here. V8 for you, Larry. Sparkling energy.
There you go. Some agua.
Water? Okay. Crystal was drinking water, too. I think she lied to me. I think she was boozing it up.
Get out of there. I'm water all the time. I made the switch to water like 5-6 years ago, where all I drink now is water. And now I actually like it. But I used to hate water. I used to not, like, it doesn't taste like anything. So I knew it was really healthy. So I was like, I got to do it. Okay. Tell me the story.
Sponsored. That break was sponsored by water. It tastes like nothing. You're right.
But it's healthy.
It is healthy somehow. I mean, I could. All right, doesn't matter. I'm not going to do my water bit.
Oh, he's got a bit. Okay, nice. But,
well, it's not that great. We would go see UFC fights. We would drive into a place called Jake and Joe's. It was in Braintree, and he brought. I'm not going to say his name. Okay. But he brought his neighbors. I graduated with him.
Okay.
And the fights got at like 1 o'clock in the morning, so it's a smooth cruise back to Stoneham.
Yep.
There was an accident.
Yep.
And there was traffic. So he won't go again. He won't go again.
Yeah.
Because he thinks it's going to happen every single time now.
Right.
Larry's telling him, no, this is an anomaly. This isn't normal. We usually just cruise. Nope, too bad. Not going.
Now, see,
sorry.
There's a prime example of having a difficult time processing the emotion. Yes. He had such a borderline traumatic experience for him. And now he's unable to sort of classify it the way that you are, that this is an anomaly. This isn't the norm.
It is. Right.
Hey,
right.
This is what I'm saying.
It's funny because that happens.
We're very fickle in our own minds. Like being aware of just how unreasonable we are by nature, I think helps a lot in dealing with yourself. Like that self versus self battle is very real. And I think confronting just how unreasonable and how wrong we are in a general sense helps a lot to being able to be like, oh yeah, it makes sense that I was wrong. It actually, that makes a lot of sense, as opposed to like, wait a minute, how could I be wrong? That's the go-to.
the thought
of it. It's an insult.
Yeah, no, too. What did you just say? You said something interesting earlier. You said you never drank water before.
Might have been an exaggeration.
No, I know you. No, I know. I'm not holding you to that. You've never had a drink of water. But basically, because growing up, I didn't drink much water.
Right.
They say you have to have 8 cups a day. I never had close to 8 cups a day. I never had close to 2 cups a day. What were you drinking? I didn't. What did you drink before?
Well, so
what made you switch?
Okay, I was stuck on juice. I loved orange juice. Is my ultimate favorite. Orange juice. But then as I got into the teen years, I was loving Mountain Dew, Pepsi, Diet Mountain Dew, the sodas. Soda was the top tier flavor.
Yeah.
And then was the juices. But then at the very bottom was like water. The only time water came into play was the hot summer when I was really thirsty. That outside of that, I wasn't drinking water. And so, but the more that I learned about how water functions in your body, and that you don't typically think of it this way, but water is involved in a crazy amount of bodily functions internal. Even when it comes to something like fat loss, your body's ability to break down those fat cells and do that partly relies on water to some extent. Now, don't quote me on that, because I certainly am not a scientist.
It's on tape. Sorry. It's on tape.
So I'll put
I'm just going to edit this one piece and just play that ad nauseum. It's true. Pat said it on air.
There it is. Yeah, a new scientific discovery. No, but with that disclaimer, that to some extent, I have some basic understanding that there's bodily functions that you're not necessarily aware of that rely on having an abundance of water readily available within you. And so this is part of where the ideal of having all this water. Now, part of there's a lot of criticism about the 8 cups of water, because that's a guideline given to every single human, no matter what their weight size. So that's obviously right off the bat, logically not realistic. There's no way it's 8 cups for every single person. That represents like the average. And I think this is part of the trouble when it comes to, it's more that oversimplification, that in order to reach the general public, they have to put guidelines out that are meant for that represent the average need or the average ideal, when ultimately the average person isn't even average, because this is that. Well, that's the terrible way to say it, because the average person is average by definition. So
I said that. They expect that from me, not you. The average person isn't average.
Right, there you go. Okay. Take that one to the bank.
I said it. That's what I'm going to now use that clip. You're off the hook. The extraordinary person is not extraordinary. It's simple.
Well, it's because what I mean is what I'm getting at is the scale. If you're talking about on a global scale, like the average income on the global scale, then when you zoom in on somewhere like America, our average is way above the average of the global thing. So it's like that. It depends on what your what the scale and the scope is of the generalization.
The sample size, too.
The sample size, exactly. So that's what I'm getting at. The idea of these studies can be based on larger groups or smaller groups or whatever, and so that the average doesn't necessarily represent whatever the average is in this other context. See, this is the nature of everything's so complicated. This is part of why people don't necessarily love talking to me, like, in my real life. Having conversations.
I'm regretting it. I'm kidding. I was hoping you'd hear it and laugh, because I was totally kidding.
No, I got it. But I also can appreciate it can be really, really like exhausting to be trying to acknowledge all the complicated variables in any given topic, because the nature of things being complicated. It's much easier. Like, part of why we like talking about the weather. It's like pretty objective. Oh, look, we can look outside, observe it's sunny. Nice day today, huh? There we go. Bing, bang, boom. It's, no debate there. Not much to go. You know, not much debate. Well, I think it's rainy today. No, we can see it's sunny. You know what I mean? It's not, don't have to worry as much.
This is my new water bit. This is my new, I'm getting rid of my water bit. I'm going to copy that one exactly, because it's way better than what I had.
It's yours.
You know what my favorite commercials is in the world? I don't think they play it anymore. It's for Siri. And okay. Zooey Deschanel, you know, she's the actress. New girl. She was New Girl.
Yeah,
the New Girl. She would sit. She went to the door. She went to the door, and she looked at her phone. She went, "Siri, is it raining outside?" Honest to God, she was looking out the window, looking out the door window, and asked Siri if it was raining outside. I don't know why.
Confirmation.
I don't know who thought that up. I don't know. I don't know how that. I don't
was
know
there the, really the, a window? The, come on.
There really was. You were looking out from outside. You were looking outside. You could see her. She's going to see. And I don't know what lines got rejected, but if that's one they accepted, there was some major firings that day.
It definitely makes you wonder what were the other options?
It baffled me.
I didn't see that one. I'm going to have to YouTube that after.
Yeah, well, you're lucky. Yeah, shout out to YouTube. How many channels do you have on YouTube now? Me too, recently. Sure.
I've got three channels, but. I think there's got to be like a billion on there now. There's so many. Do you know it's something like between 300 to 500 hours of content is uploaded every minute to YouTube. So just the numbers every minute, 300 to 500 hours. So like try to wrap your brain around a number like that, especially when you're talking about per minute. So that means it's 60 times that per hour. That's just the amount of content on YouTube is unlike anything that's ever existed. And I've spent more time on YouTube than I spend on Netflix, Hulu, all that, partly because there's just so much to explore there. I love YouTube.
Yeah, and they have I thought you said I love you too. I was like, I didn't say that.
I love you. Well, I love you too. That's true.
Ditto.
Thank you.
For you Ghost fans.
I love that.
YouTube has a channel, their own TV streaming system now too, right?
YouTube TV.
YouTube TV. Do you watch that?
I've dabbled. I like, because I don't have cable. I knew many years ago I would never subscribe to cable, because it seems like such a ripoff, and that's why they have to bundle it with the the phone and the this and that, every other, and internet. They know that everything's connected to the internet service. They try to throw everything in with it because they know everyone's getting the internet, and so they try to sneak. Oh, it's only a dollar more. But then 6 months later, it's $20 more, and then there's a fee to have the cable box. And I don't. That always seemed like a huge scam to me with, like, I'm just bringing up the amount of content that exists on the internet. And YouTube by itself is free. So it's like there's no way I'm going to be having a cable bill. I would much rather be able to pay for multiple streaming services. And so I played around with YouTube TV, see what that had to offer, because that offers the live streaming of some actual channels, and, like, you could get sports stuff, even though I'm not huge into the sports stuff, but that's just a typical example of the kind of content you could find on YouTube TV, or the Hulu has one, Hulu Live, where if you find it on the internet, otherwise it's usually a pirated stream or something illegal, which has its own problems.
You think of all the money you saved on cable, you could afford a background.
This is it. This was a big money. No, not really at all.
Did you get, was that just a sheet or did you get that? Because I was looking at options. I didn't obviously go for it. I went for wall.
Yeah, you went with the white wall. It's a classic.
Well, you should see what first one I had was was terrible. I'm sorry. It was not visually pleasing.
There you go.
That's what we'll go with.
I like the syllables there.
Yes. See? A lot of syllables. Like sometimes I get to five. It's amazing.
Whoa, be careful.
It hurts. I try to do one a day.
Work your way up.
Usually late at night so I go to bed because I'm tired.
That's fair.
I go the two, the three, the four.
All the way up.
Hit the five, go to bed, bang.
Start again.
Bingo, bango, bongo. Isn't that what you're saying?
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Big bam, boom. Big Bam Boom was a Hall & Oates album, I think.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yes, we'll bust out the Hall & Oates. I'm dragging out. Oh, no, that's another one.
Don't get copyright claim. Don't get copyright claim.
I know, I got to be careful. Because I started to sing a song, I think, last episode. Chris, someone did. And I was like, oh, I think I can get sued for that. Because they will shut you off. Apple will do that. Like if I wanted to play a song just so you could hear like a lyric, and they found out about it. Not that they're checking on me. I'm some schmuck. But they don't even warn you. They just pull
me. This is part of, we're in this very, now I'm paranoid by nature. I'm always very, so I'm hyper aware of the many ways things can go wrong relative to like getting in trouble. Like, especially with the internet. Because I've watched huge channels all go down quickly for weird stuff. It's so, when it comes to copyright claim, we're in this bizarro gray area on the timeline where we don't have specific things in place to make it guaranteed protected or guaranteed not protected. So like it's the company, like I'm a live streamer doing video games right now. There's no specific protection for me that is an absolute. Like you can go with the fair use thing that allows for me to be putting me playing the video game out there. But I obviously don't own the rights to the video game. No, nobody streaming video games owns the rights or has absolute permission. Well, I shouldn't say no one, but the average person does not have
Mario and Luigi on.
That's right. I don't have their number yet. I'm trying to work my way out to be able to call them, send them an email. But as of now, I'm hoping to stay on their good graces. But you can imagine from the company's perspective, you don't necessarily want everybody representing your brand depending on what they're putting out there for content, because now you've attached your brand to their brand and there could be a lot of conflicts there depending. So I can appreciate both sides of the coin. And so when it comes to like using music, the gray area becomes, if you just straight up play a song front to back from your Spotify or from your album collection, that's likely to get a copyright claim. But now it gets more gray. What if I'm singing and playing the entire song? Is that count? Or what if I just sing the hook? What if I sing two lines? Does that count? And so up to now, they've been building more and more sophisticated algorithms. Like you said, they're not going to check on some schmuck like me. But the reality is that's the power of algorithms, is because now it doesn't matter if it's some schmuck like you or somebody with a million subs, because the algorithm is going to run its way through all the content. Well, as much as it can. That again, back to the 300 to 500 hours of content per minute, they're going to need sophisticated algorithms to have any chance at catching things like someone putting 30 seconds of audio into a podcast or into their content. So it's this very bizarro, there's very few guarantees about how much you can and can't put in without express permission. Your only hope is having express, like if I could give you permission to play one of
Obi-Wan is the only hope, by the way.
You're my only hope.
That's right.
Yeah.
Are we in trouble now? Did you just get me in trouble with Disney? Seriously, I have to edit something. Thanks.
No, as long as
I'm trying to go a whole my whole entire career of no edits. Now
it's only with the Princess Leia hologram that it becomes an issue. That's the line. No, not really. That's what I'm saying. That's the whole point. Is that line is imaginary. It's up to the company that owns it to decide if and when they're going to go after you. So we're in their. The ball's in their court. We just got to hope for the best.
We're in the crosshairs. Yeah. I don't know if you've listened to my. Actually, you did listen.
I do.
You reached out to me. I want to touch upon that. But early on, I had the grand illusion of having. I'm a big Dave Matthews man.
Yes.
Man, you know that. You know that. A lot of people know that. For those who don't know that, welcome to the show. Because this is your first time listening, obviously. But I wanted to get some of their just intro, just music, not necessarily words. Just what I really wanted was the beginning. I'm going to toe the line here.
Okay.
The beginning of Ants Marching, when the drum bam, bam. But to do the drum first, yeah. The drum would be the intro, then you know, and then it goes into it. That's all I wanted. Nothing huge. So I wrote to them. I wrote to the management, and they said, oh, yeah, we'd love to help you. Just answer all these questions. There was 4,236 questions I had to answer, none of them pertaining to much. Just and I knew the answers to the first two. What's your name? What's the show's name? That's it. They asked questions that I had. So I'm like, you know what? I love Dave Matthews Band. I do. I'm not answering. I don't know the answers because then I'm going to start lying. I'm with 3, 4. Sam Kinison and Roddy D'Angelo back to school. 4. That's what I would be doing.
Yeah.
I
gotcha.
I had no clue. Questions I didn't understand because they were talking about how many, what per minute are you? I'm like, six. I don't know. Can I do it or not? I'll shout out at the end. I'll say thank you, Dave Matthews Band. Whatever you need me to do, I'll pay a one-time $100 fee. It's worth it to me. So I ended up getting this free crap.
Free permission to hearing, use.
They actually say the name of their website during the middle of the song. It sounded kind of cool. I didn't even know it was until one time I tried to hear what they were actually saying. I'm like, that's their website. Oh my God, I didn't even realize
this subliminal messaging there.
Yeah, it was. It really was. So then my uncle Jim decided he would. I asked him. I didn't decide. I asked him if he would do something for him. So the new song you hear now with me going, ladies, you don't hear it on YouTube. Excuse me, but on the audio you hear it. That's my uncle Jim. He put that together for me.
Very nice.
So I can't get sued. I don't think.
Well,
maybe he can. I don't know.
Well, that's the other side of the coin is even if you do have permission, sometimes the algorithm will still flag you because sometimes it's not built into the algorithm to be able to even filter is permission there. So a lot of times it's meant you get flagged anyway, and then you're meant to do a dispute and to say, hey, wait, I have permission. But you're still at their mercy that depending on how human of a response you get, sometimes even with permission, the flag will hold up and then you can get a strike or depending on the severity, you have your whole thing shut down. So this is what we're in, a very precarious position as digital creators in 2021. And so it'll be interesting to see over the next 3 or 4 years how it all plays out. And as these things get more and more structured, because there's less and less money to be made from tangible physical copies of things, in the future of making money, especially off something like music, is off rights. Usage rights, things like that, which is annoying for us, but I can also understand the other side of the business. It's a tough situation for everybody.
Who do you side with?
Honestly, I'm the ultimate worst when it comes to taking a side because I'm so the neutral. It's just the real, like what I'm talking about, the complexity of things. The more in which you're able to recognize, okay, my opinion is solely based on my experience and my knowledge. And if I'm honest about my experience and my knowledge, it's incredibly limited relative to the complexity of any given topic. So when it comes to me weighing in on which side I would take, I wouldn't feel comfortable trusting my opinion with much unless I had a really strong handle on the complexities of both sides of the issue. And by the nature of being on one side of it, now I've created a bias in addition to needing the awareness of all the complex variables. So it becomes almost impossible to trust your own opinion. So my opinion on opinions is that they're not worth all that much based on the nature of them.
That's a fact.
That's a fact, Jack. You can take that to the bank.
But now knowing both sides, can you find loopholes? There's got to be loopholes.
Definitely.
Everywhere.
Without a doubt. But the complexity there is how long will a loophole exist? Because even if you find a loophole that exists today, it may be addressed tomorrow. So that even within... Within the context of something like finding a workaround, it's whether or not that workaround will continue to exist. Another complex variable that's impossible to really anticipate accurately.
Yeah, it's like the Roddy Piper line. Just when you think you have all the answers, I change the question. At least I think that's Roddy
Piper. Perfect. Yeah,
he might have stole it from somebody else. I have no idea, but that's where I learned.
That's it. That's the idea.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been doing all told? Because I know I looked at your page and I've seen you. You have some videos where you're playing the guitar. Those are much older.
Yes. Almost 10 years ago.
Is that okay? That's right. And then when did you start your Super Pat World? You said seven. Well, how long did you already say?
I made the page on June 30th of 2020. And there you go.
No fact checking. I'll believe you.
that's the date.
June. You remember the date? Wow. Okay.
Well, it's listed on your page. They have a page transparency section on the home section of every gaming page so that you can see how long. I'm not sure why it needs to be transparent, but it is. It's any gaming creator on Facebook Gaming, you can see how long that page existed. And so okay. I've seen that date a bunch of times, June 30th. Otherwise, I don't know. I have a hard time remembering my own birthday or how old I am. So I'll
tell you what it is.
I
know your birthday.
That's I know who to call if I forget.
That's right. You forget my number, but yeah, that's fine. If I could just find his number.
Wait a minute. I got to ask you this, George. Do you have any recollection of a birthday party when we were very young? I have this very strong. There was one birthday party. We had a shared birthday party. It was over my house.
I blocked out all those memories.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair. But
you stole my birthday. What am I going to do? Welcome you to the world? Please. I was so mad at Miriam. We couldn't hold him for one more day. One more day.
A couple
more
hours.
That's it.
But the irony of you saying this is that there's recorded proof, there's home video, and you were being really sweet to me as like the older. It was clear that
it was an act. It
may have been, but yeah, great job putting it on, because in the video it looks like you're being really sweet to me. I had gotten a basketball hoop, and we're both playing.
I do remember this. We dunked on. Yeah, I remember that.
You put me right through it. I love that. No, you didn't.
It's right. See, that's what I take on my frustrations on. See, I'm playing basketball with him. Don't worry, he'll bounce back.
I wanted to ask you because I was obviously a little bit younger than you, and obviously I shouldn't say obvious, but me being younger, I figured if I have a strong memory of it, it's more likely you do, being a bit older at the same time, you know? And so I could remember looking up to you and being like, and thinking you were so funny and so cool, and how glad I was to have the same birthday as you.
You're a good judge of character. Even
there you
that
go.
Is,
See,
Patrick. Good
I had it, had it down. That's
you.
One opinion I can trust, at least a little bit. But this idea of wondering how aware you were at the time that you seemed to be like cool about being nice to me in a way that, like, you know, especially around that young age, it can be like, oh, well, you're the younger kid. I don't want to, I'm too cool for you. But you really did. You weren't like that at all. So,
well, I'll tell you why. And this, I don't know. I'm just going to tell you because it's honest. The older cousins never really interacted with me.
Oh.
And I didn't want to do that to everyone else. I feel bad saying
No.
They probably don't listen, but that's part of the reason, because I know what it felt to be the young guy.
Yes.
At one point I was the young guy.
That's right.
The young cousin. And I didn't really have much interaction. Or if it was forced, it was go hang out with them while we talk, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And it just, not that they were rude or they just really didn't care to
not particularly embracing of the new guy.
See, that's, I got to write this stuff down. Yes. not. So I decided I wasn't going to do that.
Yes.
Much like
as a kid, you decided this.
I was awesome.
Yeah, clearly.
But then I also looked at, and I this is something I didn't plan on saying either, but that's part of the whole, you talk about the positive attitude.
Yes.
I learned on what attitude I didn't want to have.
Yes. Okay. Very good.
Growing up. So I realized, okay, I don't want to be this person when I get to be at that stage of life.
Yes.
So I've tried to, and it sneaks out. Like you said it all sneaks out. But bottom line is I've learned more in life as to what I don't want to be than what I do want to be.
Very good.
And but it's point A to point B. It doesn't matter how you get there. It's that you get there.
Exactly. I'm with you.
And you can set out to be the most positive person you want, or you can be like, you know what? I don't want to be like that guy, so I'm going to do this instead. And you end up being, not that I'm a positive 100% of the time. Nobody is.
Exactly.
Hey, you were negative at least six times on this podcast. So
who's keeping count? Who's getting who?
Me. Me.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't notice the counter. There it is.
I have no idea what the carriage here, actually. I keep looking at the film. But no, I do remember that we were playing basketball. And to be honest with you, I thought that was a Christmas video. You're probably right.
No, it was our birthday. It was a shared birthday.
No, but I didn't know that, because what I remember.
Well, I have the footage. You don't have the footage. That,
I believe you.
You know what I mean? Totally,
was there a cake? Was there a cake?
It was a cake. There was a birthday song.
Oh, you saw a cake.
I'm pretty sure you even let me sit right next to you, which, like I'm saying, it was I think maybe I had.
That's prime real estate.
That's prime real estate.
Good for you. That's prime real estate. That's right. That's
top
right.
Dog.
The older cousins weren't fighting for it, but the younger ones were.
The older cousins didn't even show up to the party. They were all invited.
Because it was me. That's why. I don't want to deal with that schmuck. I like the other guy. I'll give the new kid a chance, but not him.
but there is that natural. It's so interesting when you look, you know, the Lord of the Flies, that like natural hierarchy that can exist among humans, that we sort of naturally want to put ourselves into the exclusive club, or who's better, who's it. The more that you can resist that, the better the results for everybody. You know what I mean? The more you can break that down. And so I got to give you major kudos, because that really made a lasting impact on me, even though it was a relatively minor thing in a random birthday. but that stuck to me. Here I am, a 30-something-year-old guy, and that memory is strong of, like, as a kid, having a strong recognition of being appreciative that, like, you were nice to me as the older one that typically wouldn't be. So that really meant a lot to me.
Don't make too big a deal of it, because I was told if I'm not nice, I get no ice cream.
Yeah, see, that was the thing.
My mom, ice cream. See,
yeah. I didn't see my mom threatening you behind the back, but either way, the effect the effect was the effect was the same. So awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, I've always liked you guys. I've always liked everyone except for Ryan. I don't like Ryan much.
Well, Ryan is one of the best baseball. I know you're totally kidding. I know you guys have that kind of funny back and forth thing. And that's
well, I'm funny. He's not, but yes.
Well, there you go. See? But yeah, one of the things I love about Ryan is just how unique his personality is, and mixed with the talent he has musically, that set us up to have an awesome relationship when we were in a band together for a while. I really appreciated the time I got to spend with him, because getting to know him, it's that way with anybody. You don't really get the surface level of anybody in the basic interactions, but once you're spending daily time with someone, that's when you really get beneath the surface and get to sort of peel back the layers. And I think the older I've gotten, the more I've appreciated, especially with loved ones and family that you might not typically get the opportunity to do that with. I really appreciate that more and more. I'm less and less satisfied with just the surface level relationships, and more interested in what's going on beneath the surface.
We're all blooming onions.
Blooming onions.
Hopefully Outback won't sue me, but we're all blooming onions.
That's the awesome blossom. Extra awesome.
Yes. That's right. The awesome. You got to peel them back. But it's, you know, that's true on many levels, though. You're right. It's everybody's cool when you see them sporadically. Or they can be cool, but it's when you're with them every day. Like Ryan, I got a chance to really bond with Ryan. We shared a room. He shared his room with me. While I was, my house burned down. I don't want anyone to think I was like a bum on the street.
No, I remember.
There's nothing wrong with that. But
I'm with you.
So Ryan was very cool. He couldn't have been cooler, actually. And wow. I am gonna edit this out.
Don't let him hear this. It'll ruin everything.
No, Ryan. I'm sure he doesn't listen, but he can't hear this. But no, he couldn't have been. Everybody was cool. Ryan was the coolest because he actually sacrificed the most. Even though Mary Lou complained, I drank all her milk. Which isn't true. There was five people there. They drink milk too. No, I'm kidding. I actually did drink a lot of her milk. But
figures.
No, it was all. They all couldn't have been nicer. They were all great. And you know,
family.
It killed me to give Ryan his kudos because I don't. You know how we act. I don't want to be nice.
I know. It's that playful.
And he didn't know what to do. He's like, "What are you doing, man? You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to tell me I'm an idiot and stuff." What?
I know there's that strange, comfortable, especially, you know, the back and forth, the sibling rivalry, especially when you end up living with somebody, you can develop that same sort of dynamic of where it's like you have a playful, almost defense mechanism because you really do like each other. But at the same time, it's expressed in this bizarro backwards way. So more interesting psychology to dissect.
It really is because I would do anything for the. Oh, there I go again.
Yeah, see, it slips out. See, I'm sneaking it out of you.
This is therapy.
There you go.
I have to pay you for this.
I'm going to send you the bill. You'll get a bill tomorrow in the mail.
That'd be my birthday gift. How about that?
Happy birthday.
I was like, does he know? Yes, he knows my birthday.
I do. Well, if I can remember.
Yeah, right. That's... You got to call me to get it. We'll talk about that. We'll write it down. We'll figure something out. Yeah, a little something. But I was forever grateful to you, Patrick, because when I first started this, I didn't know what I was doing. Well, I knew what I was doing because I've had TV shows and I was fine talking to people.
Well, that was a quick turnaround. You went from not knowing what you were doing to having TV shows. That was a pretty quick.
Well, what I meant was I said it incorrectly. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know where I wanted to go.
Okay, gotcha. Like, vision.
I'm definitely not trying to compete with anybody. Like, you brought up Joe Rogan. Nobody's competing with Joe Rogan.
Correct.
That's nobody's competing with him. Nobody's competing with anybody. Everybody has a podcast now. There's a knock at my door.
Hey, I hope you're not getting stream sniped. I don't know if you heard of that.
No, what is that?
They'll call the FBI on you and have them tell them there's like a hostage situation. And then while you're live streaming, it's happened on camera. People have even died from it. It's actually a terrible big problem. I know it's very intense. This is part of why I'm like hypersensitive as a live streamer. Like I try to be careful about how much information I give. I try to toe the line of I want to be genuine and put myself out there. But I'm also there's that reality that some people get a kick out of trolling you and watching it play out it live. It's happened a couple times.
Because I mentioned a Hall & Oates album? Is that what's going on?
Exactly. They heard it.
Is that Daryl Oates? Daryl Oates.
The algorithm hit it, and they said, let's get him.
Daryl Hall's too busy. John Oates isn't doing much. So he's probably him at the door now. Great.
One of them has a YouTube channel. Oh, is it them? There's somebody that has I can't remember. I'm going to butcher it. But there's a couple really cool YouTube channels that have sprung from some of the old legends creating their own format for YouTube channels. It's really cool stuff.
Really?
Jack Black has one too, Jablinski Games. There's a lot. All these random celebrities have created their own YouTube personalities, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah, see, and now I'm competing with these schmucks.
Well, so that's true.
I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I felt John Bon Jovi. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I've been. But now, can I get sued for that? Can I legitimately get sued for that or no?
They're ringing me right now. You're in some trouble.
You don't talk to them on the phone, so we're good.
I didn't pick it up. I didn't pick up.
I didn't pick it up. It just said the phone.
I know.
But you, but it's gonna. I want to get this compliment out to you if it kills me. Yeah, drink your water. Be quiet.
Here we go. Here we go. I'm ready for it.
Step away from the chair.
Hold on.
and you reached out and you said, you know, hey, listen, you have a great voice for this, and it's just really good. Now we got to get some eyes on you. I just read the quote because I was looking for your email address to send you the invite, and I went too far up, and I hit the part where you said, now we got to get some eyes on you. So we actually said that.
Yes.
And I appreciated that. At the time, I was like, I just started, and I wasn't ready. I didn't know much about. I mean, I knew about YouTube. I didn't know about getting onto it. If they knock again, I'm going to have to pause. I don't know who these people are, but
that's all right. Hey, do what you got
to
do.
They seem to have left.
I'll only be minorly offended.
That's enough for me. Hey. But you were very complimentary, and you told me about your channel, so I watched your channel. But to be honest with you, watching your channel, I figured that I couldn't do that because you're talking about all these editing you did, and all the hours you just put into it, and I can see it because your videos for the Corona
Special Education with Pat,
Special Education with Pat was very well done. I know you probably wasn't.
Thank you.
Your 100% because obviously you want it to be perfect and what you see. Oh, I should have done this. I critique myself. I don't even watch these. I watched the Krista episode the other day. It's the first one I've watched. Sorry, other people, but because she was just so funny and I had to watch it again.
Yeah. She was great.
But I know watching myself, I'm like, oh, I don't like that. I didn't, you know what I mean? So
I know exactly.
But me watching it, I thought it was fantastic. And I don't think I reciprocated how great it was, but I do want to tell you.
Oh, you didn't.
That.
I actually remember distinctly. You did not reciprocate. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, he's probably right.
No, I'm totally kidding.
I may have not, but I'm doing it now for the 1.6 people who are watching this.
There we go. Big shout out. 1.6.
Woo. And one of them's my mother. So there you go. Actually, probably not after last week, but but no, it was very well done. For those who, I mean, I don't know if you go back and watch it now because it's almost over. But if you have, I think your work was great. You did a lot of cuts, you did a lot of music, and just it looked real to the uneducated on how to do it. I've done some editing, but it was back in high school with the TV show. It was not extensive at all.
I got you.
And I thought it was phenomenal. I really did. And I've watched the Pat World. I couldn't watch too much of the Pat Super Pat World because I was too busy reading all the comments. Because because I wanted to see if anybody was goofing on you.
Oh yeah, well that definitely happens.
I missed it though.
It's almost like if you watch stand-up comedy much, it doesn't take long, especially if you go see it live. You can catch the hecklers every now and then. And so there's this whole art form from the stand-up comedy's perspective of how in which you handle a heckler. Because you can turn a heckler situation into a huge moment. It could become a highlight. And like Bill Burr famously did it in a massive crowd.
Philly.
Yeah, the Philly, exactly. But and similarly, so when you're live streaming, and this comes back to the ego, you're faced with a choice. If someone's coming at you telling you how bad you are or, hey, you're this or that or the other thing, I think it helps if you can recognize, okay, first of all, I'm not the best, so there's no need to defend as though I am the best. And also, it's very possible that this person coming in is, who knows what kind of day they're having or what the source of, you know, that phrase, hurt people hurt people. This idea that I don't know what happened to this guy's day, that maybe he's coming in wanting to unload on somebody else and maybe I look like an easy target. And there's also probably some validity to, I know for a fact some people find me annoying. No one's more annoyed with me than me. I can tell you that right off the bat. So when someone tells me, I understand. This is what I'm saying. I can appreciate just how annoying I can be, or it's just the human nature that once you meet enough people, you recognize, oh, I don't like these people over here, and it's not anything they're doing wrong. It might just be the tone of their voice, or that there's different people that you connect with and people that bother you in one way or another. And I'm talking about on an individual basis, the idea that any given person, without any fault of their own might rub you the wrong way. That's my point. And that I think it's difficult as a human to accept that's true for me too. Like that there's people out there that no matter what I did or how I acted, I would rub them the wrong way. And so it's like, if you're going to put yourself out there to the whole world, you have to expect you're going to, people are going to come across you that don't like you, even though it's not your fault. And it's like, we all naturally want to be liked and accepted. So it immediately hits that spot in your brain that's like, oh, I want everyone to like me. But I think it's important to accept not everyone's going to like you, and it's okay. They have a right to not fully embrace you if they find your voice annoying or they think it's silly that you're playing video games online. There's plenty of legitimate criticism to give to me that I'm aware of. So I think that helps in the moment when someone comes through and they want to throw something at me. It kind of bounces off of me in the sense that it doesn't surprise me and that I'm genuinely okay with it, and all the way to the level that I can appreciate where they're coming from. Because like I said, no one annoys anybody more than I annoy myself. I genuinely appreciate that perspective. So I think I see that parallel there with the way the comedians deal with the hecklers and the way a live streamer might have to deal with the troll.
Yes. And you want to be like Johnny Gill, rub you the right way, not the wrong way.
Oh, that's the ideal.
I saw Dave Chappelle at the Orpheum. A long time.
Live?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yes, I was alive at the time. Yes, I was alive.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah.
Breathing
and
all.
That because he was doing some older stuff. He wasn't doing all new stuff, but it was still funny. And this guy decided to, he's going to yell at him and be the hero. Like, you're going to be funnier than Dave Chappelle at his own show. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And he just destroyed him. And it was just set the stage. It was right in the beginning too. For some reason, I don't know if it was it wasn't a plant. I don't think it was a plant. But once started because I've recognized some of the bits too. But it's like Dave Chappelle actually equated it with an album. He's like, you buy albums, you listen to the same song over again. And then from there, it was just awesome. Completely, it really catapulted him to, maybe he wasn't feeling it, I don't know. Maybe do a few bits just to get warmed up. But his energy level was way higher. And he was so much funnier. Not that he wasn't funny, but he was funnier. It seemed to energize him.
Heightened it. It probably hit them with that adrenaline.
V8 sparkling energy. No,
big shout out, V8, future sponsor.
I'm begging for a sponsor.
V8, come on. Give him a call.
Just send me one case a month. I don't care.
Get it on the ground floor. Yeah, that's your payment. Yeah.
That's right. I'll take it. You can pay me in free juice. Product. I don't care. Free product. But it's true. You're right. Because some people are going to pick on you no matter what. And it's how you deal with it. You can either turn it around, have fun with it, ignore it, whatever. But if you let it get to you, they win. I need to go out because the terrorists will win if I don't go out. Okay.
Yeah. It's more of that. The internet is like a breeding ground for that sort of cause effect thing where it's like, okay, especially I think live streaming really invites it because in real time you can get that cause effect. I put this thing out there and now it's like, think of all those, there's all those different coin operated things where you could like put a coin in a,
they're called laundry machines. They're called washing machines.
That's what it is. Laundromat. No, like the little, this is probably too old school because I can't remember the last time I saw one, but where you could put a coin in something.
I'll get it.
Okay, it would spin around a little loop, or it would do some kind of little trick thing.
The actual coin. Lost,
that was it.
Yeah.
The actual coin. It would actually do something.
To watch circles, yes. It's like I can watch a clock for free. It's doing the same thing. But no, I do remember that. You put the coin, it started out going long, and then it got shorter and shorter and shorter until it got to the middle.
And then right down
funnel.
The middle, it was like, wow, yeah. I mean, it wasn't much of a show. Like in my mind, a big part of the appeal there was the cause and effect. It was like, oh, I put it in, and it does this thing. Like that you're connected to the cause and the effect. So I think that like innate desire is makes the internet a breeding ground where you could be like, put something out there, and then in real time get to see the effect, positive or negative. You get the payoff.
And when you're live, you don't have the option of thinking about your response and writing it down and being completely handling it 100% great. You can get rattled, and that's the appeal for the hecklers. Hence the Jerky Boys made so much money off of all their prank phone calls. Prank phone call.
It's the reaction. It's all about the reaction.
You're not reinventing the wheel. It's a prank phone call. We've all done it.
Well, some of us.
St. Patrick.
Hey, it's one of those It's one of those.
Don't take offense.
I got exactly. The phone's not even near. But the I got to correct myself because I called before when I was talking about the people who will call the SWAT team on you and then watch it happen live. That's called swatting someone. That's I called it stream sniping, which is something different. But a little correct, real time fact check.
Oh, that's good because I don't do any fact check. I don't let that go. They're SWAT sniping. What are you gonna do? That's called swatting. See, here I am. So if there's a fly, swatting. I call the SWAT team, and they swat it for me. I like that.
That's a whole different thing.
Well, I got a tip.
That's the ultimate extreme of that cause effect thing, where you're like, you do this like the equivalent of pulling a fire alarm, but you get to see it put someone else in danger in real time. That's sort of, it's a scary thing because. I believe in the next year or two, they're going to have more and more things in place to be able to anticipate it. But when you're talking about hostage situations and bigger things, they have to naturally take things seriously when they get those kind of tips. So it's like it's a fine line of filtering out. You don't want to not respond to a real emergency because you're assuming it's some kind of swatting situation. But yeah, right. That's a weird, more of the cause and effect.
I'm more about the cause, but we'll see. Now I can get in trouble for doing the cause there.
There you go.
They're hipping and they're hot. No, sorry.
Be careful.
Bill Cosby's not the most popular person to do impressions of.
That's the reality. The longer you go, he's had a long career, and yeah, bad turnout for Bill. Didn't go well for Bill.
No, it didn't.
Made some big time problems.
It was a good run. He was one
had
of
a good run, but made
though.
Some real bad calls.
Did you ever see Bill Cosby himself?
The DVD.
On HBO.
That
it was one of the funniest stand-ups I've ever seen. I'm thinking that's the guy that I just can't picture it.
That's what's so brutal. That part of the weird thing we have in our society. Oh, there's the classic quote, the meme. In our society, in a society like ours, that reality that we put celebrities on a pedestal to a certain extent, and then. If they turn out to be a bad person, I don't know how you want to say it. Someone who creates victims. That's probably the most objective way to say it. If you're a person that creates victims, it's going to be a really hard fall when you go from being revered as this great, great thing. But then if you're creating victims especially during your career, that's really, it's a long way to fall is the point I'm trying to make.
Yes, yes. So, and then they all come out of the woodwork because they're afraid to talk in the beginning.
Right.
Oh, this person spoke out. Now I can jump in. And they're all credible.
That's
they have to be heard. And it's just because you got away with it for X amount of years doesn't mean it won't come back and get you.
That's that
it's
brutal
like,
thing.
It's like the rhythm. The rhythm is going to get you. It really is. it's going, and it did. The other day, I was like, oh my God, Lisa, I the rhythm got me.
The
it
rhythm
really
gets you.
I was, yeah.
It'll get you.
Yeah, it's the electric a tough slide.
One. There you
no,
go.
It is. Now, I did. You touched upon something earlier, and I don't think I quite understood it because, quite frankly, you were just droning on and on. I kind of just shut you out and worried.
This
about
is what I'm
drink,
saying. But, it can be very annoying. But, I'm very. I am aware.
But you're playing a video game. Did you have any right? Like, did you have to seek out somebody for permission, or did you just do it? And is that Lee complete? Because I do want to clarify. Because I don't think it was. Spoken to in depth, it maybe glossed over, but how did you get the rights, or do you even need the rights to do that? And what's the difference between that and sampling 12 seconds of a Dave Matthews song?
This is that perfect, very eloquently stated, because you're describing part of why this gray area exists. So like Twitch is that Twitch is like a YouTube, except it's a platform specifically for live streamers, and it started way back 2011. Was an offshoot of Justin TV, and it was kind of the first of its kind, a dedicated network of just people live streaming. And so it started with video games and evolved into people doing IRL streams, in real life streams. The point is, as this thing evolved, it was in a matter of 4 years, opened 2011, and then I think it was 2014, sold to Amazon for nearly $1 billion. So it exploded quickly, relatively quickly, and there was clearly this huge market for live streaming. And so part of the cause effect here is you've got people playing video games. Let's say you've got 1,000 people all playing this certain video game. Now, on the one hand, someone could say, well, as a viewer, rather than buy this game, I'm not going to buy it and I'm going to watch this guy play it instead. That's bad news for the company. But on the other side of that coin, you've got people tuning in watching him play this game and say, oh, this game looks awesome. It's effectively a commercial for the game. Now I'm going to buy it, and I wasn't going to. So the big question from the business side is, are streamers causing sales to increase or decrease? What's the trade-off there? And those numbers can be difficult to crunch because there's a lot of hypothetical, because you'd have to know whether or not the person would have bought it beforehand. You know what I mean? It's impossible to get a handle on that sort of thing on a totally accurate scale, but they have good ways to figure out if insurance companies can put formulas to risk, right. Then you can be sure people with millions of dollars at stakes are finding ways to do the same with these kind of statistics. So it puts the video game company that some of them over time have taken the stance, no, you can't stream this game, especially story-based games initially, because you're effectively giving away the twist. You're giving away the story. It seems much less likely if you watch someone play through the story that they're going to want to play through the same story themselves. But games that have endless variety, like I'm playing a Mario game where every level I'm playing is made by another player that owns the game. So there's a somewhat infinite amount of content there that I'm playing a level, and unless you want to play that level, you're likely to never get it if you were just playing through random levels yourself. So that reality that you might like what you see on my channel, buy the game, and then play entirely different levels. So that lends itself more to being more of a commercial, where there's a lot of people that have come into my stream and then told me in the comments, hey, I watched you on and off for a month, and I ended up buying not only the game, I bought the entire system, the Nintendo Switch, in order to play the game because it looks so great. That's the magic of Mario. It really, I think it hits a sweet spot with a lot of people around my age because there's so much nostalgia around Mario that it was like a lot of our initial video game experiences, and then we were introduced to more Mario games as we grew up. And so this idea of being an adult playing Mario, or the part of the angle that I take, this idea of playing Mario with your kids who like Mario, I think that really opens it up to this. There's a lot of potential market there that are going to be into Mario video games that currently might not even ever consider watching someone live stream and playing a video game. Cause that's like the classic live streamer criticism is, well, I'm not going to watch somebody else play a video game. I'll just play the video game. But what it fails to recognize is there's a lot of people who, while I'm playing the game, they're playing the game right with me, sometimes playing the same level that I'm playing, because in my particular game, there's a level code. So I post the code in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. So if you're a viewer, you can tune in, fire up the game, and then play alongside me. You can race me, try to beat me, see if you can beat the level before I do. Sometimes we've had a point where there was double-digit viewers in the level with me trying to figure out what the secret is to the level.
Really?
All in at the same time. So there's all these interesting dynamics. I see the parallel between that. You know, if there's like a big football game, the classic thing is to have a football party, have people over to watch the game, so you experience watching the game together. That same thing, I think, is present with video games, but it's leveled up because you're not watching the football game and interacting with the players. You're interacting with the fellow fans. But with live streaming, you get to interact with the fellow fans and the actual person playing the game. So it's like it brings that interaction level up even further.
So what you're saying is that Super Pat World is greater than Super Bowl, right?
Well, you know,
I think
that's
your new t-shirt. That's your t-shirt. No charge. Don't worry. You can have it. It's free.
I appreciate the idea. But I learned early on, especially here in New England, I have to be very careful about the way in which I can come across as critical to sports, because a lot of people love it, and that it's tied to their identity in a sense that, like, I'm a Patriots fan, that they consider that literally part of their identity. And I think we all naturally want to attach things to our identity, helps us understand who we are and all that kind of stuff. And so I learned early on, especially in the early Facebook days, when people were really upset about us losing the Super Bowl and then me being critical of people being upset, the response I got made it very clear that I had kind of touched on something that I hit a nerve. Then I understood in hindsight just how wrong I was to criticize it in the way it was, because I was being critical because I was detached. I wasn't the fan, so I wasn't actually able to relate to the feelings they were feeling. When in reality, there's very valid feelings, especially when you invest, you're watching every game of the season, you know all the stats, you have a favorite player. If you make it all the way to the Super Bowl and then lose, I think it's very valid to be genuinely upset by it, especially when you're like a hardcore fan. And so I was unable to see that as someone outside of the fandom. So I learned my lesson. So, but
good for you for good for you for saying that though.
Totally,
so a lot of people wouldn't.
This is what flawed perspective. I was basing it on my limited experience and knowledge, led to a faulty opinion that made my behavior not great to other people. And so it's important to acknowledge. And so, but we bring up the Super Bowl that I just wish the Super Bowl was more like the World Series where it's multiple games. This has come up on stream because that I hate the idea that you could do awesome all these games and then a single game on a single day. You could have a player out, you could have a bad game, you could be in a bad mood. So many variables, but it all comes down to, can you show up on the championship game? So, but I understand all the other side of that is that's the nature of it. Can you show up when the pressure's on? Basketball is like the ultimate example. The last 5 minutes of the game, you could skip the rest of the game, just watch the last 5 minutes and see who shows up for the grand finale.
Yeah, but you're right. In baseball, since it's 4 out of 7, the best team usually wins. Whereas the Super Bowl, you get those fluke. Well, and not that they don't deserve it, because they do. They won on that day, and that's all
exactly.
It is. But sometimes people walk away feeling the better team did not win.
And exactly.
Always a pain. But I have two things real quick that I want to say about what we talked about before.
Good luck with the real quick.
I know. If I can just get you to drink some water for 5 minutes.
Good idea. Let me get that.
Take a sip. I mentioned it on last week's episode with Krista. You talk about super, you know, the Mario stuff.
Yeah.
I was on. Did you ever go to Niagara Falls? I was on the Mario Kart, the actual course.
I heard you mention that. It sounds amazing. Yes,
it was. It was really cool.
I definitely have high hopes to check all that Nintendo stuff out.
It's awesome. It's the real course. There's no banana peels, but it's pretty cool.
Not yet.
It's not yet. That's right. The better times are coming. And two, to your point about watching the games, I'll bring up a band. Let me see. Who could I bring up? All right. We'll just bring up the Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
Fine.
Great example.
Dave Matthews Band, they early on, what they started doing was they would allow tapers in their audience. They were kind of local and people would tape the shows, which you're not supposed to do, but they would allow it because guess what? They're going to send it to their friends. And see, it's the old commercial, the old Prel commercial, I think it is. They two friends and they two friends and so on and so on.
Yes.
And it worked. They still allow it to this day. Now they're huge. So would they have gotten that huge without those tapers, or would they have been huger sooner? You know what I mean? But I think that it helped because now they were allowed to go to, not allowed to, but they could go to the next state over and they'd have a good fan base. And,
yes.
And what you always see is long microphones in the first couple rows. And that's what they're doing. They're taping the shows.
That's like the earliest form of a viral video. Kind of. It's like that, maybe not the earliest, but it's that same concept that, one of the most powerful ways to get the word about anything out is to have your friends tell your friends tell your friends, because now it's from a trusted source. You're not just getting an ad thrown in your face. It's actually someone that you know and trust telling you, hey, you should check this thing out.
But don't call them. Text them.
Right.
Just don't call them. They don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, exactly. You can be careful
group
about
text.
That. Group text only.
But it works.
Exactly. And that was part of why, I remember with Napster and Metallica, when they sued Napster and there was all this backlash because so many of their fans had been doing similar things, bootlegging. And like that was part of their whole coming up, was people doing the similar kind of sharing, not necessarily with video, but with audio recordings. And then that thing has always existed in the music industry, where you've got like rappers with mixtapes where they put out music for free that's separate from their album. And that's meant to be distributed outside of the main channels, like that underground channel where it's like, that was like the origin of the gray area, where it's like Dave Matthews Band, they're okay with people taking the illegal footage. And I'm sure part of the equation is it's not going to be the best quality, so we could still do our own version in the high quality.
Right.
But I think that's part of the, as technology advances, now you've got more and more likelihood of people bringing in their own little setup and putting a great thing together. So it's that weird back and forth of, we're okay with it for now, but then after it gets too good, now we're more concerned about it. But then it's a bad look to be concerned about it, and bing, bang, boom, all the way around the course.
Yeah, it's like biting the hand that feeds you. That's what got you there.
Exactly.
But they still out. But you're right. The quality was never great, but it was good enough to hear it and make you want to go to a show.
Yes.
So it really did work. And
but I love Metallica. I hope it doesn't come. I'm not. That wasn't meant as a that was meant as an objective observation about the response they got. Wasn't necessarily my response. The Napster thing is I think that'll be studied for years as to the way in which that whole thing unfolded, because it's so crazy.
I'm glad you said that, because Lars is a big fan of mine. So he's probably watching this now. He's like,
isn't he a guest next week?
Super pet. Well, he will be now. He's going to rebut you. You too, actually. I woke up one day. A lot of people did. Most people were upset about it, but I wasn't. You woke up and you too had downloaded their new album on anyone who had Apple. You had their new album.
Forced download. One of the first things ever. Yeah.
I had no problem with it. Of course. I can see why people would, but I'm like, thanks. Okay. So what do you, where do you stand on that?
Well,
because forced is an aggressive word.
But so it's accurate.
It's true. No, I know it is. I know it is. But the point being is that the connotation is that you don't like it. So tell me if I'm right or not and why.
Okay. You're talking about, first of all, you got to identify this is free content. And so I think part of the strong reaction was the idea of I didn't choose this and now I'm stuck with it. Whereas I think part of how they could have curbed that, if they could go back in time, is make an easy delete option. So like if you opened it up, you wake up and now it says, hey, you've now gained access to this album. And then you choose, yes, I want it, or no, I don't want it. I think something as simple as that little format would have curbed that sort of feeling of, because I think people feel violated when it's like people just warming up to digital music. And then it's like, wait a minute, you mean the industry can invade my personal avenue of exploring music and then push this on me? That I think it's like seeing it four steps ahead and the idea that I don't want once a week them telling me what to listen to. But then little did we know that things like Pandora would exist where it does exactly that. You choose what to start listening to, and then it tells you what to listen to next. But that's the power of algorithms. It's like it can't, algorithms nowadays can be really accurate at predicting what you're going to want next. And there's a certain amount of fear that comes along with recognizing how good in something that's not sentient or something that's an algorithm, something that's not human, having an accurate idea of what I want before I do. Then I think that's a little unnerving for a lot of people, especially with all the things we've grown up with of technology taking over, the robots existing and then taking over, that whole like little fear factor thing of if the robots get too smart, they could band together and take us out. Like,
who needs us?
That right. Well, and it's not as ridiculous as it sounds in the sense that I'm not saying that I'm afraid of it, but I think it is fair to point out that when you're playing with fire when you're talking about making things more and more intelligent than us and being able to accurately predict what we're going to do, I think it's fair to caution that with, we should probably be careful about the way in which this is implemented in order to sort of get ahead. It's what, because it's one of those Pandora's box things where once it's at a certain level,
pun intended though, right?
Exactly. That's what Pandora was, the perfect name. That it's like once it gets to that point of being super smart, you can't really undo it. It's tough to go back. So I think that's sort of the caution, is the idea of how far can we take this artificial intelligence thing before it becomes a problem, not necessarily in terms of the apocalypse and taking over the world, but just in terms of it serving us in the way in which it's intended to. I think that's the criteria of how aware can we be ahead of time. But again, that there's a lot of conspiracies around that I'm not buying into. So it's a tricky thing even bringing it up.
All right. I just want the record to show that my response was, hey, that's great. Thank you. Yours was a 5-minute rant.
What you get.
I'm just saying.
That's what
I'm
you get. You put the cord in the slot here, then you're going to get, yeah, there it is. Cause and effect. More than that.
That's right. It just works. It works. Pat, I appreciate you coming on. I had such a fun time with you.
This is awesome.
I want to know where people can get, those who can see the sweatshirt versus those who can't see it. Where can they get it?
Okay. It's a link to a merch store that the best way to, if you're at all interested in checking out any of the weird video game stuff I'm talking about, you open up Facebook and then in the search bar, three words, Super Pat World. SUPER space PAT space WORLD.
So you need the spaces.
You do need the spaces, although I think even without the spaces, it might still come up, but I'll guarantee it comes up. Yes, right. Okay. Do you mean
fair enough.
The classic? The algorithm's back at it. They know what I'm thinking.
I do. No. As soon as I look at it, I'm going to see those t-shirts down my feed. And where can they find you on, if they want to watch your video game? I'm saying it incorrectly. If they want to watch you do what you do.
Yeah, yeah. The live streaming.
For lack of a better term.
I get
live streaming.
Yeah.
Oh, and also thank you, because you said something, you taught me something today.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't know what IRL stood for.
Oh, in real life.
And you did that annoying thing where you say, TBH, to be honest, when you say the three letters and then say what you're actually, you know what I mean? To do that, it's funny, but it's not annoying. I'm just teasing.
No. But it is considered annoying.
I didn't
annoying.
Realize it. Well, because if people say IMO, in my opinion, yeah, I know. The worst is 3 a.m. in the morning. I know it's 3 a.m. in the morning. Uh-huh. It's 3 a.m.
What about ATM machine? Automatic teller machine.
Just an ATM.
Or AT machine.
AT machine.
That's a really rare one.
That is rare. That's like the chase of all of them. So at any rate, so I did. I didn't know what that meant. I just accepted it, and now I know what it means in real life. So
we love shorthand, but part of why we love shorthand is that reality that some people don't know what it means. It's that weird draw of like you kind of like to be in the exclusive club in the know. And so, but especially in terms of a podcast, I'm trying to be aware of if I use a shorthand. Someone might not know what it means. And
I know it's just funny. It's funny because I do laugh when people do that. Like not so much that, but the 3 a.m. in the morning really bugs me. That's just redundant. I get it. It's 2 p.m. at night. 2 p.m. afternoon. There's no need for a.m. and p.m. if you're going to tell me in the morning or at night.
These little idiosyncrasies, especially if people are nervous. And this is more of the thing of people rubbing the people the wrong way. We all have our own pet peeves that aren't necessarily the most rational, but it evokes that negative feeling. That's not necessarily a conscious choice. So pet peeves are what they are. Fair enough.
And they're pets. They're friendly.
They are pets. It's always good to have a pet. I love my dog. Got a German Shepherd.
Do you really?
Yeah. Zeta. Zeta is her name. My wife, when I met my wife, she
Zeta
already had Zeta.
First? Do you know who that is? Do you know Zeta?
I haven't heard that before. No.
Well, why'd you name it Zeta? Was it named Zeta?
No. Well, I don't want to get the story wrong. Okay, because my wife.
I'm not going to fact check. Make it up.
Well, it actually came from because I know the alpha zeta. It's the Greek alphabet for Z. But I don't know. I'm sure I've heard the story, but I don't remember it. So I don't.
Oh, by the way, I lied to you. I think her name's Veda Saltonfuss.
With the V.
I don't think it's Zeta Saltonfuss.
You did fact check yourself.
I'm gonna. Well, now I'm going to. Google
that.
Go. I have to look. I'm going to. Okay. I know where to find it. I have to be accurate. My mother will kill me. My mother's looking at it right now. She's racing me. Right, so how did it get the name? Your wife had the dog first?
Yeah. And so I can't give you the accurate story, but I can tell you I had a dog growing up.
Where is she? Bring her in.
She's in the living room. I'm in my little gaming studio.
Yell for her. I want to know the true story.
No, not with video. But you can't. You got to be careful about bringing someone on video unexpectedly. It's only fair because then it's that weird thing where you don't want to catch him at the wrong time.
I lied. It is Veda.
It is Veda. So there you go.
Yeah.
Mine's Zeta.
It's my girl. My girl with Dan Aykroyd. My girl. Remember Macaulay Culkin?
Oh, my. Well, one of the saddest movies ever made. Spoiler alert. No spoilers.
Don't come back for 5 to 6 days. Veda Saltonfuss. I'm sorry. That's my girl.
That was the girl.
Yes. Yeah, played by Anna Chlumsky, I think is her name. Tough
there you
name.
Go. Look at we've got Chlumsky. IMDb over here.
I did. That's what I did. That's what I did. I went on IMDb. I went right to it. All right. So Zeta.
Zeta. Yeah, sorry, I love that.
How do you top that now? Well, I can't.
Well, I could give the tiny bit of cut that I'm saying I love the dog because I went through a weird period of we had a dog as a kid and then had to give it to my uncle because we found out me and my sister were both allergic to the dog. And so we had already fallen in love with the dog and then having to give it up. It was super traumatic. And I found that from that point forward, I had sort of a wall up against totally embracing my own love of an animal because I had been so hurt by it. And so, but now through the process of forming this relationship with Zeta, now I've recognized it and then worked through it. And now I love Zeta so much. Whereas I beforehand, I wasn't aware that I even had that sort of wall up or that was necessarily traumatic. It's that weird thing. That's all about awareness. That's the thing I'm talking about before. Being aware of your own emotions and what's going on in your own head gives you a lot more power to work through whatever it is so that you can get a better outcome. It's because I want to be able to love my pet, love my dog, but I have to first be aware of the obstacle in the way in order to even address it. It's just the nature of things.
Did you realize you were doing it when it happened? Or did you reflect upon it?
No. It was in reflection because when we first got married, and it, even as we were dating, that I had always embraced like the pets of like a girlfriend. It's not that I ever disliked them, but it was just getting to that level of like, okay, I actually love this animal. I felt like I struggled to get there, and I never necessarily had a strong sense of why or that it was the case because it wasn't exaggerated. I still would love to play with them and be like a great pet co-owner. It wasn't that was a struggle. It was really just that emotional level of actually giving over to like, okay, I really like treasure this living thing in a way that when it's gone, I'm really going to grieve over it. It's like that. It's basically that. That was the thing I was so resistant to. And I wasn't totally aware of it until I was, and it was really when my dog got sick. We had to bring it to the doctor, and it was its hips were all messed up, and it was like a scary thing of almost losing it. And that's when I really came face to face with, like, wow, that there is this thing here that makes me resist that emotional connection with the dog that I wasn't aware of. And so that's part of what helped me work through it.
So I got to get fish.
Got to get fish is the way to go. Goldfish.
Dump them right out.
Gotta love a goldfish.
Quick flush, get a new one, all done. Nobody gets emotionally attached to a fish.
Brutal.
You don't get emotionally attached to a fish. A dog, you do. A dog's your best friend.
Some fish people do, though. Feed them. I'm telling you, it all depends. Some people have special connections with animals. That I've learned in the way that I did. Until I met the people, I didn't necessarily understand it because I didn't necessarily have that to start. But I think the more I've recognized it, the more I'm able to embrace animals more and more. Just seeing the way in which other people appreciate them in a way I was unable to. But see, that's more of the perspective. I bring in my own limited knowledge and perspective, have a faulty opinion, and then through being able to embrace the way other people see it, I'm able to expand my own. And I think that ends up, that's better than having a strong opinion, is being able to acknowledge the different variables involved and actually expand your own beyond just a single opinion.
That's pretty deep.
That's a little deep. Sorry about that. Again, the bill's coming tomorrow, so we'll square that up soon.
You know, I checked the box. They asked me to describe the podcast. I put comedy in it. I'm going to have to go back and fix
that's the right
now.
Move.
I'm going to have to go back.
I ruined the joke. We got a couple jokes in there.
Uncheck. Well, yeah, but now we end on this. I don't know. We end on
right. Okay. Yeah.
But I do have to ask you because.
You
know, it's funny. Yeah, every time I try to end a show, it always goes another half hour or so.
That's the nature happens. Of it. That's a good one. That's a good problem.
It is. It's funny because I'll be like, all right, maybe it's nothing you did. It's just I felt it was okay. All right, Pat, plug your stuff, and then we're talking about dogs.
The dogs,
and
right?
Therapy. But
but that's actually points to you being a good host.
Duh. I mean, that was
obviously
that didn't need to be said.
I wouldn't be here otherwise.
But obvi, right? Exactly. True. All right. Now that we've got a grasp for the obvious, let's talk about something else. you mentioned that you had a fear of losing something. Was it just pets? Was it everything? Because that was kind of a self-revelation for you.
Without a doubt. Because when we first, I can distinctly remember telling my mom after we had had our dog for the first 2 weeks, telling her, expressing to her, it feels like Christmas every morning waking up to the dog still being here. That was genuinely like how I felt about it as a kid. I'd wanted a dog for so long, and it was one of those things where so often when you anticipate something with a lot of hype, it never lives up to it. But owning a dog for me as a kid, it actually lived up to it. Kind of like this podcast.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I had to do it, though.
No, there's the comedy. See, we snuck it in But having a dog represented something for me as a kid that it actually lived up to the hype of it was everything I hoped it was. So that's why to have so soon after that point, that like roller coaster, getting to the top of the emotional hill of like love and affection, and then just like a month or two later, having it go all the way down to now you can't have it ever again, potentially, or at least as long as I was living in that house. It was too far to fall, and I was unable to do a good job processing it.
Wow.
And but like I said,
how old were you, Pat? How old were you, if you remember? Ballpark it.
Yeah, it maybe in the between 10 and 13, I'd say. And part of the brutal, I distinctly remember this. We would go on vacation. We'd get like a small little beach house. Usually once a year, we'd get 1 week at the beach. That was like our family vacation. And so this particular year, the way it lined up is it was the first day of vacation, and they wanted to try to break the news. My parents had the devastating job of telling me and my sister, well, you can't have the dog anymore. We found out your sister's allergic and this and that. And so they thought, okay, the best way we could break it to them is we'll set them up in this great context in like the vacation so that it eases the thing. But it sort of had that initial opposite effect that it felt like it ruined the vacation. It was at breakfast on the first day of beach vacation that the understanding was the dog was being watched for now, but then we found out on that first day, we're actually not going to get the dog back. And I just remember us crying at the table at this breakfast thing and just being like so devastated. And then it was like, okay, now time for fun vacation. And I can see like on paper how that made sense to them. But then, like I'm saying, the way it played out, not so great.
Well, here's the thing, because I think what they were expecting, if I may speak for them right now.
I think you should.
They said, listen, we're going to tell this to them, and they're going to have a choice. They can go this way and be positive about it, or they can go this way. You chose wrong, Patrick. You chose wrong. It wasn't their fault.
Exactly.
No, that is the last day having dinner. Oh, by the way, that's the tough one. Yeah. No, but you're right, though. You can see where it would be, but I would think I would have done it at the end of the vacation.
I think that probably would have been the better move. But like I said, things on paper oftentimes appear to have different consequences than when they actually play out in real life.
Right, because I wrote down, listen, I want my next guest to be packing.
And now look at us. Here we are. Longest podcast.
No regrets. No regrets.
No regrets. Hey, I love that.
You see that tattoo? That's the best. No regrets.
It's a classic.
Appropriate. Okay, now we landed on that. That's good.
Is there
anything else you wanted to talk about? Because I haven't talked to you in so long. I didn't know if there's something you've been waiting for.
Well, I can tell you this. If you ever want to talk to me again, you're going to have to bring me back on the podcast. I refuse to talk to you outside of this public podcast. I'm publicly saying that. So don't talk. Don't message me. Don't call me. Definitely don't call me. The only way you get back in touch, another podcast. No, I'm kidding.
Threw my phone away.
I literally, since we've set this up a while ago, I've been telling my wife I'm really looking forward to, and I've been keeping up with your podcasts. I really think you're awesome, and I think you have just the right personality to bring things out of the guests in a way that makes a good podcast host. So I'm very proud of you.
I think I was this close to making you cry today.
A couple times, almost just because I was so bored. But
at least once.
No, obviously
bored to tears. I love it. That's great. That's funny. That's what I might call the podcast.
There you go. Bored to tears with Super Pat World. It works both
I'm
ways.
I'm going to do that. That's what I'll do.
There you go.
Bored to tears will be in the title because that's phenomenal. That's great. And on that note,
there it is.
They can find you on
Super
Facebook.
Pat World. Just type in Super Pat World on Google, on Facebook, you'll find me. It's a gaming channel on Facebook Gaming. I have a YouTube channel as well, but it's very limited content. All my real stuff is on Super Pat World. It's a Facebook gaming. So type in Super Pat World in Facebook and you'll find me.
And don't worry, ladies, he's better looking than he sounds.
That's true. That's a fact.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right.